All right, welcome to the Free Strip here on JoeBucksFan.com, middle of July edition. I am Bobby Fenton. After another week off, we are at this point, folks. I just missed it by a day. We're almost inside of single digits to the beginning of training camp as we record. And I'm doing this on Thursday morning. It is 10 days. Today's July 15th. By the time you listen to this show, it may be, you know, a few days even later and even closer to the beginning. But we are just over a week out from the start of training camp over at One Buccaneer Place. And if you want to get even more, you know, down the road with it, we're actually just 56 days, exactly 8 weeks from today that I'm recording this, Bucs-Cowboys at Raymond James Stadium on that Thursday night opener. And, you know, there's a lot. Well, there's really not a lot to happen between now and the beginning of training camp. There is a lot to happen between now and the beginning of the season. And things are going to start picking up as far as team news. Obviously, there'll be practices. You already know because you're here. But if you're listening to this and need to be reminded, JoeBucksFan.com is the place. We're going to have everything covered. The Joes will be there at training camp. Of course, even during the offseason when nothing's going on, there's like 45 different things on the website every single day. And of course, it only gets better when there's actual stuff happening, and that's about to get going soon. So we got to start getting ourselves mentally prepared, okay? Like, it's everybody's been in summer mode. Me too, obviously. I do a show, take a week, do another show. You know, it's been sporadic. I get it. But all of us now have to get our bodies and our minds right. I always say, and you got a little bit of time still, but I always say, you know, if you got some chores or things around the house, like, you know, some mini projects you've been looking at, try to knock them out and get everything ready to go. And even through, you know, the rest of July and August, you have time to do this. But once September hits, folks, like, weekends, not a lot gets done. You know, I've got two kids, so I've got youth sports and stuff like that. I have to work around that with football. But, like, we're not going on a town on vacation. We're not taking a weekend trip. No, it's football season. Like, that's what football season is, September, October, November. Like, that's what we're doing. So we got a little bit of time, but we're getting close. Get your minds right. Get yourself in order. And this is going to be a fun season for a lot of reasons, obviously, but it's going to be kind of like a coming back to what we've all missed. You know, like, last season, they got it done, and it was great that they got it done. Obviously, the Bucs won the Super Bowl, and college football was the same way. College football was even more weird because there was partial seasons, and teams played different amounts of games, and it felt really half-assed, but it was the best they could do. I'm not complaining. So this year, we're going to be back to normal crowds, back to a normal schedule. In fact, it'll be the biggest NFL schedule in the history of the league with the 17th game. And it's just everything's coming back, just guns blazing. I know you're excited. I'm excited, too. And we are now literally just days away from the very beginning of all that with training camp on July 25th. So thank you for joining us here on the Free Stretch. And as I always tell you guys, thanks to our good friends at JoeBucksFan.com for giving me this platform. And thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. If you're looking for a car, whether it's brand new, whether it's used, whether it's a van, truck, a regular sedan, anything, including Fords and another besides just Fords, they've got it all at Bill Curry Ford. So you can do two things. You can go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check everything out there in advance. The transparent online pricing is all right there. You can see exactly what you're dealing with. Or just go right now, or right when you think about it, go to the actual place. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. It's just north of Hillsboro on the east side of the road. They've been there for 60 years now, and you can check out everything there. Huge showroom, huge lot. If you do go the website route and you want to stay home, they will deliver not just the car you buy, but they'll even deliver cars that you want to test drive. So if you see something you like, ask them to bring it to your place, your house, your office, whatever. They will do that. You can do the whole thing from home. And they even do that with service now, too. Like, if you need an oil change, they can actually bring that to you, like, and do those remotely, too, if you ask them. So they've got everything covered. And when you buy a vehicle there, of course, the biggest thing is the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. As long as you own that car that you bought at Bill Curry Ford, you're covered under engine trouble and all that stuff. You can just bring it back to the showroom, and they will, or the service center, I should say, and they will take care of you. So, BillCurryFord.com, or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and thanks to them. So, Couple things to get out of the way here about the Bucks themselves. And again, there hasn't been much Bucks news because it's the offseason, although that's going to change soon. There was one bit of news today because today is July 15th, again, that I'm recording this. You might be listening to this, you know, several days or even a week down the road. But the 4 p.m. deadline today is for teams that have franchise tag players this coming season, like the Bucks did with Chris Godwin. You could still sign them to a long-term deal. So the Bucks were talking with Godwin's camp and trying to get that done, and it's not going to happen by 4 p.m. today. Now, does that mean, oh, that's it? He's going to play out his one-year franchise deal, then he's gone. No, it just means they had until today to do this before the season, where they could have still signed him to a multi-year deal and the franchise tag thing goes away. And instead, yes, he will play the coming 2021 season at a one-year deal for just about $16 million. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do it after the season. So, in fact, it's been reported that the Bucks have the full intention, and of course, Godwin, I'm sure, would love to stay here too if he can, but they're going to go right back after this in the coming offseason after the 2021 season is over. And at that point, you know, he'd be a free agent. They can, you know, work with him to keep him here, or he can go somewhere else. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Actually, it's not a bad thing, because if you look at the just financial layout of things right now, one, on Godwin's end, you know, the salary cap's pretty low, so the Bucks don't have a lot of room. And a lot of other teams wouldn't have had a lot of other room either, because everybody's kind of pinched this year. So Godwin, it behooves him to wait, whether he stays with the Bucks or goes somewhere else. There's just going to be more money in general in this coming offseason. Now, that works for the Bucks too, though, because, yeah, they can now, in the coming offseason, really make a competitive offer to Godwin, because they'll have much more room as well. And they're still going to have to make some tough decisions with other people, but just the salary cap didn't move this year. It was supposed to be higher. Obviously, this is all pre-COVID. And so this just wasn't a great time for all this to be happening, but this coming offseason will be a lot better. So we'll see. And of course, you know, we have no information yet on what happens in the 2021 season after the end of this year, and we'll know a lot more, and they can make all the negotiations they want to. But as of right now, there was a chance they were going to maybe do something. Instead, no, he'll play the franchise tag out this season, and we'll see about it in the coming offseason. So that's the main piece of news for the Bucks as far as that goes. Unless you want to count the ESPYs, which I've never really, even in the best of times, I've never really watched the ESPYs. But this year, I do know I saw that the Bucks won the award for best team, and Tom Brady got best male athlete, or top male athlete, whatever the hell they call it. And I was actually surprised. Again, I don't really care about the ESPYs, but Tom Brady never won that award before, like male athlete of the year, I guess it's called. And that was surprising, like through everything he did in New England, never won it. Comes to the Bucks year one, Bucks win the Super Bowl, Bucks get team of the year, Brady gets male athlete of the year. And he does it while wearing the pewter in red. So if you're into that whole thing, I actually was at a neighbor's house when the ESPYs were on, which is the only reason I saw it, because my neighbor was watching it. And like all the people around here were all good friends, and we kind of come and go from each other's houses and stuff. And they were watching it over there, so I sat down with them the other night when like everybody was having, you know, they were sitting on the back patio having a good time. And it was just hard to watch. I mean, the award shows in general, I think, are terrible. I never watched the non-sports ones. But even the ESPYs, where I have a little more like relevance because I follow sports, so I know more about it. Just the jokes were stale, and it's a hard thing to be funny in those situations. So I'm not even saying I expected them to be funny, but it was painful. And I didn't recognize all the celebrities. I recognized some of them. Award shows have always seemed really contrived, really forced, really put on, and you know, when you do it the way they did it this year, I guess they had, you know, with COVID, it's still there. They didn't have a big theater full of a million different athletes. It was kind of done outdoors, and there were some people there. A lot of other people were doing it on video or whatever. But, you know, just fell flat with old Bobby Game Day over here. But I did perk up when I saw at least some, you know, Bucks highlights go up there on the screen and stuff like that. So good for Brady, good for the Bucks. You know, add it to the trophy case, just like everything else. And speaking of the trophy case, since I didn't do a show last week, you know, last time I did a show, we were talking about the Lightning winning the, I guess this year it was the Stanley Cup semifinal, normally what would be called the conference final. But I actually had the fortunate opportunity to be able to go with my son to Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final and watch them win the Stanley Cup in person and see the Stanley Cup paraded around the ice. A second time I've gotten to do that. I was there in 2004 as well. And, you know, I went through all this on the last show I did a couple of weeks ago, but I still seriously, there's no words to describe. I want to go back in time. I really wish I could and tell like 16-year-old me about all of this going on. And, you know, for anybody that was able to go to the boat parade, I didn't go, but I saw, you know, all the local stations were televising it and stuff. And I mean, this is just like, even going back, what was it now? I mean, I guess it was about a year and 2 months ago. It was like last March, right? When the Lightning hadn't won either of their Stanley Cups yet. The Bucks hadn't won the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady still played for the Patriots. You think about it, like how fast all this happened, because now I'm thinking about that. And yeah, like when COVID was just happening, remember it was March of 2020, and it was all kind of like going down. There was that Rudy Gobert incident at the NBA game where he tested positive, and all of a sudden people started panicking. They ran on the court and they stopped the game. Like, you all remember that. So if you go back to that moment, that was when the Tom Brady speculation had been going on. He hadn't signed yet with the Bucks. And I remember talking on this show about how, you know, I'm a Tampa sports fan my whole life. I said, these types of things don't happen to Tampa. Like, Tom Brady's not coming to Tampa. You know, we're not that town. You know, we're the town that, like, nobody cares about. And you watch other people do those things on TV. And it's just, this isn't us. I never really believed Brady was coming here. So since then, when he came here, now the Bucks have won the Super Bowl and the Lightning won the Stanley Cup twice. And this is all in a span of, like, less than, like, 16 months. Like, watching the Stanley Cup get paraded around in the rain at Julian B. Lane Park and watching them toss the Lombardi Trophy between boats. And like, can you imagine if I just put all of what's happened in just the past 18 months, or not even 18 months, I guess 16 months, into like a montage that lasted like 4 minutes and just showed that to you? And that includes COVID and non-COVID things and all the sports things. And it's just amazing. And seeing like Julien Brisebois, the Lightning general manager, like doing his end of the season press conference the other day and recounting all the injuries that Lightning players played through, that, you know, you don't say them during the playoffs. So it's tradition, like when the playoffs are over, to say, oh yeah, he had, you know, a ruptured spleen. He had a compound fracture in both of his legs. This guy had one of his eyeballs gouged out, and we replaced it with a glass eyeball so no one could tell. But he played, you know, that's what all these injuries come out after the end of the playoffs, and they're just these horrific injuries. And Julien Brisebois was like actually moved to tears recounting all the things that the Lightning players, like Killorn, like had a fractured tibia in like two places, taking a block shot in game one, had a rod put in it 3 days later, and then skated 2 days after that, just hoping maybe he could get out there and help his team win the Stanley Cup. And he ended up playing the rest of the series. But he could have just said, oh, hey, broken leg, oh well, you know, that's it. But he actually goes and gets all this stuff rushed with like a bone just floating around there in his leg. Just maybe I can get out there and get a couple of shifts, just help out a little bit. And Brisebois is like saying all this, and he actually paused. I've never seen a GM like cry talking about the players on his team's injuries. But it was really powerful. I was like, man, like these guys, and he said, that's how you win a Stanley Cup. Like that's, it's true. Like you know, like, every playoffs that happens to all the teams, not just the team that wins, but for the team that wins, you know, that's the team that has to overcome all that, and guys have to do it. Like, you can't win it without your studs, and no matter who it is, you're going to have injuries, you're going to have things like that. And these guys always, I mean, you know, McDonough was one of the best players out there. He had a broken hand the whole time. Hedman, all the way back to March, had the meniscus thing. He had to immediately have a meniscus procedure done as soon as they got done playing for the Stanley Cup. You saw Kucherov get just ripped across the ribs with that vicious cross check and broke a rib. He's wearing flak jackets and taking shots. The team, one of the doctors that did the shots, was on vacation and like flew back like two different times from his vacation just to administer the injections to get Kucherov back out there. And just all these stories, I know it gets redundant because we've said it so many times already, but I literally can't believe what Tampa sports was just a year and a half ago and what it is now. What a difference. I mean, the Lightning were pretty good already. This version of them hadn't won the Stanley Cup yet, but they were on the doorstep. The Bucks were nowhere. We were like here arguing about Jameis Winston and how many picks he was going to throw and if the Bucks should even look in his general direction ever again. And you know, the Rays hadn't been the world. Oh, yeah, I forgot the Rays World Series appearance has happened since then. And just in a short year and a half, the difference in the Tampa Bay sports scene between then and now, and obviously the difference in the world scene, too, it's just amazing how fast life moves and how fast things can change. And I say it all the time, but it's true. Like, it's one of the reasons I love sports besides just the athletic part of it. Like, you can't make stuff up that tops what actually happens. Like, you just, like, the stuff that actually happens is good enough. Like, they make movies and stuff, and the movies, like, if you put this all in a movie as a proposal and, like, showed me the script, I would reject the script because it didn't seem realistic enough. I'd be like, come on, you know, like, this is stupid. Like, I would have, but that's what actually happened is what I would have rejected. Like, it just wouldn't seem believable. So, you know, here we are again about to start it on a second time for the Bucks, and, you know, it's just, for me, as a Tampa Bay sports fan, all about just always staying humble now, because it's easy to expect more and more and more, and just as fast as I just talked about that it happened, it can go back to just the doldrums again, just as quickly, okay? So, you know, you could be Super Bowl champion, and you saw it with the first time the Bucks won the Super Bowl in 2002, and that felt like it. Yeah, I felt like we were going to be what the Patriots end up being. I thought we were going to win all these Super Bowls. This defense was coming back, blah, blah. And, you know, what were they, 8-8 or something in 2003, the year after? And then they kind of just went nowhere for, well, pretty much almost two decades. So you don't know. That's what you don't know when you get to do this stuff again, when you get to have this much fun again. So just have fun with every single week of it. And every single week of it, you know, instead of always looking at the end of the journey, just enjoy the journey for what it is. So I'm excited, like, just to embark on the journey again. And I hope the Bucks can win the NFC South and go to the playoffs and go do the exact same thing all over again and win everything again. But whether or not they do, you know, let's just enjoy everything going on right now and everything we're about to embark on going forward. If you want to email me, all you have to do, get a hold of me. Very simple. It's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter, @bobbygameday. You can message me there or follow me, whatever. Either way, if you want to get a hold of me, I always love hearing from you. For those of you that want a fridge schedule, and I've gotten a bunch of emails already, and I haven't responded to some of the emails, if you emailed me about a fridge schedule already, don't worry, my inbox is sitting there and your email is sitting, and I open the email and then I hit mark is unread and I got a separate little folder. So all the fridge schedule requests are there. Even if you haven't heard back from me yet, I'm going to type it up. I'm going to send it to you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the fridge schedules, I do it every year. I type it up on an 8.5 by 11 sheet, color logos, all the games, the game time, like the whole thing. It's to just put it right on the side of your fridge. I like to write like W or L, and then the score by every game. It's something I've done since I was a kid. My grandma Celia always did it on her fridge. And so now I make a schedule every year, and I just email you the file. So then if you want it, I email it to you, and then you can print it out. Color print recommended, which I'll say in my email. Really make those logos pop and shine on the side of your fridge. And that's when you put that schedule up on the side of the fridge, that's when it's football season. So I haven't put it up yet. I was tempted to just run and put it up when they did the schedule release back in May, but I said, no, you know what? Let me, just like always, I usually like once training camp opens, I'll go ahead and put it up then, because that's close enough for me. I don't need to wait till August, but I'm going to go ahead and type it up probably in the next week or two. If you want one and you haven't already requested one, again, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is where you can get that. So I did have one email from... This is from Chris in Tampa, and this actually has to do with the Lightning Game 5 the other night, and it was an email regarding, they're going to make a souvenir ticket, or I think they might, I'm not sure if they've done that yet. Somebody was asking, we were wondering if souvenir tickets might be purchased or made available from Game 5, and Chris emails me with a link to that and says, Bobby, does this make me a dork? I kind of like actual physical tickets for special events. Signed, Chris. Chris, it does not make you a dork, okay? And you know I'll never hesitate to call people dorks if they're engaging in behavior I find dork-like. But I don't like, I get modern technology, I get making things more streamlined, I get it, okay? But there's certain things you lose, you know? It's just the way it is. And there's nothing, I can go downstairs right now in my garage, I got a big shoebox full of them. There's nothing like having the ticket stub of a sporting event you went to. And I've saved every single sporting event I've ever been to that had a ticket, or my media credentials too. I have a separate shoebox with all my media credentials from different things. And I can still go back right now and pull out a ticket stub from like a 1989 Bucks-Packers game at the Sombrero with like Don Majkowski as the quarterback. I have all of them, every one of them. And they mean a great deal to me. And it's cool to go through them now and show them to my son. But you know what I don't have? I don't have any ticket stubs from any sporting event I've been to in the last 10 years. Because they're all on the freaking, either on the cell phone with the scan your QR code crap. Or I guess if you're a Bucks season pass holder, they give you a little card, like a credit card. Or in some cases, you know, they have, like, you can print the ticket at home, but it's not on the neat little rectangular ticket paper with the team logos and stuff. It's just some random 8.5 by 11, like this, you know, giant sheet of paper, which you can't, like, you can't just pop that in your wallet, you know, it's just bulky, unwieldy, ugly sheets of paper. That's not, no, I don't like it because, one, the biggest reason why I just said as far as saving the ticket stubs, two, I always love walking around outside the stadium before a game, see a guy holding two tickets in the air, go up and make a deal. You know, that's how I always did business back in the day. You can't do that now. You know, now everything's online. You know, I know why, because, like, you go online and Ticketmaster lets you resell the tickets just like always. But now, oh, hey, here's a ticket for $50. Then you click buy, and then it goes, okay, go to billing. And it says, okay, here's $74. Oh, wait, it said $50. You're charging me $24? For your stupid little, you know, middleman bullshit transaction. You know, it pisses me off. And most people, you know, most people should not like it. And yeah, okay, I can email you the ticket. Okay, great. Maybe you save me a little convenience because now you can email someone a ticket if you're going to give it to them instead of them having to actually physically meet you and pick up the tickets or whatever. But that was a small price to pay. So, long story short, to answer Chris's question, no, you're not a dork if you want to get an actual physical something or other. But I would also argue, you know, part of the allure of the ticket stub is the energy of the moment, you know? Like, I look at those ticket stubs because those are the actual stubs that I walked through the gate of the stadium, and then the ticket taker tore the ticket, and it was in my wallet or in my pocket that whole day, the rest of the day. Then when I got home, I saved it. I don't want something like 2 weeks after the fact, some commemorative thing that wasn't even there with me at the game, just so I can say I have a ticket stub. So even though you're not a dork, Chris, for wanting the Lightning to do something like that, I don't see how it really replaces something that you just can't replace. There are no ticket stubs, and that's the way it is. Let me tell you, speaking of ticket stubs, this is funny. This happened the other night. I told you I went to game five. So I went ahead and just bit the bullet and paid for tickets. I wanted to go, me, my son, and my good buddy Drew, my lifelong friend who's been, you know, going to Bucks games and Lightning games with me since we were, you know, in middle school. So, needed three tickets. When I was looking to buy tickets, you know, when you buy singles, it's a lot cheaper than buying, like, tickets together. So, like, pairs were a lot more than singles, and tickets that were three together were even more, because it's an odd number, I guess. So I just said, okay, let me just buy three singles and just get the lowest possible price. And we'll just figure it out when we get in there how to somehow get together. So we did. We bought three singles, and then we couldn't, like, find seats together in our section because everybody, you know, they're all spread out and everything. But we found a little spot up in the top row that was by, like, where they use the auxiliary press box where they take some regular seats and give them to media because it's overflow. But they weren't all being used. So we sat up there and watched the whole thing. It was great. We're all three of us were right next to each other. But my buddy Drew, again, we didn't have stubs. It was on our phone. He actually went into Photoshop in case anyone came to, like, hassle us. And he Photoshopped the screenshots of our three tickets to say, to reflect the actual seat and row we were sitting in. so that if anybody asked us, we could make it look like we actually bought those three seats. Never came to pass. Nobody ever bothered us. But I thought it was some good quick thinking on his part. But this is the kind of stuff you do now with the technology and everything. And so I totally get what Chris is saying. Thank you for the email, Chris. If they do come out with that ticket stub, you can get one for yourself. But you don't need to worry about me. Got another email here from Mark. Says, Bobby, now that the Redskins have announced that they will not be using the name Warriors, but will be announcing a new name after the 2021 season, what is your opinion on the direction they should go? Mark, thank you for the email. So yeah, I saw that story this week where the Redskins announced, you know, everybody's been kind of floating. Everybody's got ideas, obviously. And everybody's been floating names here and there. But Warriors has been a popular one. And they came out and said, we're not doing anything even remotely, possibly resembling anything Native American in any way. Warriors could go a lot of ways. It doesn't necessarily mean Native American, but they're saying we're not even going that direction. So it's not going to be Washington Warriors. Now, I appreciate Mark asking the question. I'm not going to get into a whole thing, you know, about the Redskins name. We've been through all that before as far as all that. The fact is they are changing it. So however you feel about Redskins or not Redskins, they are changing it. I will say this much, okay? Not going with Warriors, fine. I don't like, beyond the whole thing with Native American stuff, I don't like picking a name that another North American pro sports team already has. I would want to go for something that's just me. So the Golden State's already the Warriors. I wouldn't want to do that. We've got a few double names out there. The Jets, the New York Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, Carolina Panthers, Florida Panthers, and then there's a couple more. But to me, the Warriors, especially having their profile being raised with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and all that, they're too, that I wouldn't do that anyway. But the main thing with this, and they didn't outright say this the other day, but it sounds like this is what they're going to do, is they are going to come up with a new name. And that, to me, is the main thing. I don't like the way soccer teams name themselves. And, you know, in Europe and stuff, it's different. The way they do things, that's fine. But one of the things I hate is how American soccer teams think they sound more authentic by trying to be like England and Europe and come up with stupid names like Real Salt Lake or, you know, so-and-so FC, like just the name of the city, then FC for football club. So I know a few people, and it's usually people who are also soccer fans. Nothing wrong with being a soccer fan. But they've been saying, why not just stay Washington football team? What's wrong with that? No. This is North American pro sports, okay? You put your city, and then you put a nickname. The Washington blank somethings. I don't care. Whatever it is fine, okay? But they need to come up with a name, and it sounds like that's what they're going to do. None of this Washington football team crap that's a joke. And don't try and give me, oh, well, that's how soccer does it. I don't care how soccer does it. North American pro sports, this is how we do it. And so, you know, I don't know what they're going to come up with. Again, it could be anything. Fine. You know, we all have our opinions. But I did not want to see them just stay with the placeholder name and just make that permanent. That would be a bad idea. I'm glad they're doing, or not doing that, I should say. It sounds like they are going to keep their colors. Everything. I mean, to me, I would keep the uniform exactly the same. They've got great uniforms. I wouldn't mess with that. And now that I have a new name in the spring of 2022, you know, just put the logo, whatever the new logo is, put that on the helmet, change nothing else, you know? You build these brands over so long, I always say this, you know, you don't just jerk around with them. So I get the whole Redskins thing, fine, but don't do a full-scale deal. That's my opinion on that, Mark. Thank you for the email. I appreciate it. And, you know, whatever they end up coming up with, I don't trust corporate execs, focus groups, all the people that usually make these decisions. You know, sometimes they're okay, but usually they're, I don't know, we'll see. But I'm glad they've shown some good judgment so far and looking like they're going to go a proper direction and come up with a new name. Because every team should have a name. And, you know, and speaking of soccer, you know, I was just talking about soccer in North America, the way I think we go about soccer wrong here because we just try to copy the way people in other parts of the world talk in general, because let me rephrase this. When you hear a soccer fan and they say, England, our level, that's not a soccer. They think they're using soccer terms. You say England is tied. But you'll hear the same person be like, oh man, I don't know, Tampa Bay isn't very good. And then they'll say, England are, or Costa Rica are level. It's like, why would you just do this there? Why'd you do that? That's not the syntax we use in English here. They think that's a soccer term. They think it gives them soccer credibility to talk like that, when in reality, it's just different ways of the way they speak English in the United Kingdom versus North America. So just say it like you'd say it for any other sport, you know? Just say, hey, tie game, not England are level, you know? And you don't have to call a team. I mean, what are some of these teams like? Like I said, there's Real Salt Lake. I think there's Cincinnati FC. What in the ever-loving hell is Orlando City? Is that like supposed to be like Manchester City? Because there's Manchester United and Manchester City. The name of the city is just Orlando. Kansas City, that's fine because it's actually called Kansas City. Just call them Orlando, not Orlando City. It's just so like little brother, copycat, like wannabe crap. Like just, you know, to me it's lame. To me, if you disagree, that's fine, but that's my thoughts on that. So I don't want to hear any more about Washington football team, and I'm glad that that doesn't seem like it's what's going to happen. Anyway, we don't have to worry about that here. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay Lightning. All three are doing well, and your Tampa Bay Buccaneers in particular are going to be getting going in 10 days. So we'll have another show next week. Then we've got training camp. Again, keep it on Joe Bucks Fan at all times, updated all the time during the day. You're not going to miss a single thing. Several of the training camp practices are open to the public. If you're looking to go to some of those, you'll be able to. And we've still got a few weeks to go to the first preseason game and all that. And we'll cover it all right here. But thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform and getting me in front of you. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Have fun. And like I said at the top of the show, start. I mean, you don't have to do it all at once. You got a little bit of time. But start kind of getting things in order and getting ready for our transition, because we're transitioning to football season. And it's a lifestyle. I say football season is not just a thing on TV. It's a lifestyle, okay, that we're about to embark on. And we're going to do it together. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to the Free Stretch Mid-July edition. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.